We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Amelia was telling me when she got here that apparently a bunch of witches are getting their calling.
They're waking up right now.
So in addition to a podcast, we are starting a coven.
Yeah. Anybody want to join?
Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
It feels like we're doing a seance because we're holding hands. You know what I've been watching? You. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this
my first time.
So you're starting on season one.
Yep. I'm on episode 8 of season one right now. So I have 2 more episodes left in the season.
What an exciting moment for you.
You was one of those shows that I was like, there's no way it's going to live up to the hype. Everybody freaks the fuck out about how good the show is. And it's actually, and you know what changed my mind was Cardi B. Because I feel like she has high expectations.
She does that, yeah.
She does. You know, her and Penn Badgley, is that how you say his name?
Badgley, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They like met and then she was like, oh my God, I found Joe. And then he figured out her address and sent her like a box, like as Joe. And I was like, all right, it's time. I have to watch it. I love a good PR move.
The commitment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Also, it's so fucking good.
Just reading what he has to say about Joe, like, in interviews is like, he's like, yeah, this guy is insane.
Yeah. Like, and he's so good at it. Like, mm-hmm. His little micro expressions, like, I don't know. And it's like, it's so interesting how they write him. Like, you're kind of rooting for him. And then you're like, what he's
somehow
doing.
On his side.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, that's what I love about the show is because you can get into the thoughts of someone who is like a psychopath, a sociopath, a narcissist.
And he like has no idea. He's like,
no.
He like thinks he's doing the right shit.
Oh, he thinks he's so virtuous.
He's like talking about, my hair was bugging him. Also, this was a bad idea. It's so noisy. He's talking about, I'm trying to not do any spoilers in case I'm not the last person in the world to see it, but like when he's talking about Peach stalking Beck, like she's crazy. Like, she's like stalking you. I'm like, he truly thinks that he's just like doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The first time somebody told me to watch this was when I was dating a guy that Katie was saying, like, I don't feel good about this. Like, you have to watch You. This is like exactly how it is on You. And it is. I mean, like, he wasn't stalking me, but like the obsessive behavior was similar. He like knew too much about me and he was like always trying to be there for me and like be like caring and protective and shit. And Katie's like,
what kind of stuff? I got that vibe too.
Yeah. He's just like, I don't like, he would just, it was like he went back into my like very old tweets and was like, he like knew too much about like my favorite movies and like the shit that I would like talk about that was like kind of obscure. He would like bring up in conversation and like he knew about all my friends, like just through social media. And like I could tell that he was going through my liked tweets, like shit like that. I was like, this is normal behavior. Now that I'm watching You, I'm like, no, I understand what you meant.
I want to pose a question.
Yeah.
I'm going to play cis hetero white guy instead of devil's advocate. I play cis hetero white guy advocate.
Please.
how do you feel like that is different than like when we do shit like that?
Yeah, that's
because I'm like going through someone's like tweets. I did that shit.
Oh, hell yeah. Me too. I fucking do that shit.
I was like, what is he doing? He didn't text me back. He's on Twitter.
It was like, I think that it was paired with his like aggressive behavior toward me.
He was very, you haven't talked about this guy on the podcast just because I know it's been like
a while.
Well, and also for a while when you would talk about him, I would always cut it out because I had this awful gut feeling that he might do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. To hurt you or I don't know. I didn't have a good feeling. And that's why I removed it. I'm glad I listened to my gut.
Yeah, me too.
Don't really know what this guy's up to now, but.
Yeah, we're not even going to give him a nickname because there's like nothing really to like sum him up without giving it away.
Yeah, he was he was like kind of like mean to you, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like he would try and make you feel bad.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, whenever I like brought anything up to him or like when I like tried ending it with him, it was like always a very aggressive, like gaslighty kind of situation.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't even like you. Or
right. Like, basically. What am I trying to make you my girlfriend? Like, yeah.
Like, you don't need to be mad that I just don't feel the same way.
Right. Right. So I don't know when. Yeah, it's just I was flying a little too close to the sun on that. And now that I'm watching you, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like. And I know that it's scripted and like everything, but it's so.
I guess there is a difference. Time. There is a difference between like being curious and being like, I want to know what this person likes versus like being like intentional. And I don't want to say malicious, but there's like a purpose behind it, which is to be like, I'm going to get to know this person.
Yeah.
And use this information to go talk to them.
Yep.
Or appeal to them.
Yep.
I also think that if I were doing something like that, I don't know if I would like try and like disguise it. Like.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to bring up your favorite movie or something you just tweeted about or liked or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, oh my God, I saw this.
Yeah.
I saw you saw this.
Yeah. There are ways.
What do you think? Or like make a joke. I don't know.
Right. Right. Like, oh, this. There are ways to make it not weird. I think it was like, so he like covered it up so much that it was like, but I could still, it was just very, very strange behavior. Yeah. I don't know. He. In if you haven't seen you, just skip the next like 30 seconds and give you time. Okay. When they broke up in season one and like she was like going through his shit and he was going through her shit. And it was just kind of like, if I can't see what you're doing, how do I know that you're okay? Like that is such a human experience. Like there's such a big difference between Joe doing that and Joe doing what he was doing all of the episodes before, which was like killing her ex-boyfriend, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just like a really interesting juxtaposition of behaviors of like normal kind of like quote unquote like stalkerish behavior and then like actual stalkerish behavior. I don't know, it's just a really interesting, the show is a work of art. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
It just gets better and better.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I finished season three like a month ago or something.
Oh shit.
Yeah, when it came out I binged all of it, obviously.
Right, I can't stop. It's like all I think about. I started it 2 days ago and I'm like trying to like really pace myself.
Well, this also kind of leads into a couple of things I've been thinking about over the last few weeks that I wanted to talk to you about.
Perfect.
So the first one is just to kind of touches a little bit on what we just talked about of like, oh, looking at like someone's tweet, like tweets to see like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just kind of like doing these things to keep tabs. So I was thinking of this, like, this girl that I saw on TikTok was explaining how she would hide her story from everyone.
Liz.
And then, like, would make these, like, posts, like, where she's dressed up cute, like she's going to go out on the town. I sound so old. Out on the town.
Hit the town with the girls.
Yeah, no, she's just, like, she's going out with her friends and stuff or, like, going on a date or whatever. And specifically so her ex would see and like be like, oh, what's she doing, and like to make him jealous,
block it from everyone except him.
Yeah, so it was still her public story but no one else could see it except for him. And then she was like, people always think this is so entertaining and like I want to talk about it. And then I was like, comments go right to the comments.
Yeah.
And everyone is like, oh, I've done this, and like I'll play music in the background, like party background sounds, like music and like people talking so it sounds like they're at a party. Yeah,
damn, that's
so
next level.
That's a level of commitment. Like, and then she was like, yeah, I like posted like I went into my closet and turned all the lights off and like took a selfie so it looks like I was at like a club or something. And she's like, it doesn't really, it's just like dark. She's like, I didn't do very well with this picture, but
that is so fucking funny.
She was like, this is on New Year's. And then after I like got all dressed up, I changed into sweatpants and spent the night with like my mom and my sister.
That is the shit. Okay. When you texted me this, it was like such a sigh of relief because I did that shit so much toward the end of me and my ex's relationship. Like I hid, at the time I had like 1,100 followers and I hid my story from every single one of them. He didn't follow me anymore, but I was noticing he was checking my stories sometimes, but I didn't like, what am I going to like add him to a close friend story? He doesn't follow me. So it's like, he's not going to see that. Yeah. Because that's what, like when I would talk to people about this, or like I talked to really just Katie about it, I was telling her and she's like, doesn't like close friend story exist? It's like, but it's, then they see that it's close friend story and yeah. Like, I can't have that. I need him to think that I'm just like doing this publicly. So then I would like add his friends to the list of people who could see it. Like, so there was like an orbit. It was so fucking nuts. So knowing that there were people in the comments like, oh yeah, makes me feel so much better about it. This is the like crazy, like air quote crazy behavior that I think that we feel alone in doing, and we're not.
Part of me was like, the some of the comments that I was reading, I was like, women are fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I was like, the lengths, we will just figure out how something works and be like, how can I make this work for me?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And although I do think like these are clearly like self-destructive behaviors, absolutely, I'm also not above them. Like, I've totally done shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, when I wanted to make someone jealous, I remember I showed you what I wanted to post. And it was, like, when someone was, like, DMing me something, like, a famous person. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to show that he's in my DMs. But I only want one person to see it. So they were the only person on my close friends. And I wanted him to be jealous.
Fuck. Yeah. Okay.
He was not jealous. He was like, that's so fucking cool.
Oh, I remember. Yes, I remember this. Yes.
It was like, oh.
See, the close friend story, though, is it could be such a, like, I used to treat my close friend story as, like, a free OnlyFans.
Yeah. I felt blessed. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you were on it. Because it was around the time that we started the podcast. And I was like, See, I'm, like, I'm, like, sexy. I can talk about sex like publicly. I'm, like, totally cool. But it was, like, very, I can't imagine doing that now. I've been added to some guys' close friend stories that are like that, and I'm like, wow. And I don't know if it's just I think it's different when you're also attracted to them. You know, it's like if you're added to a guy that you're attracted to's close friend story and it's like thirst traps, it's like, oh. But then it's like if it's just like a friend of yours, it's like, ugh. You know,
I'm added to some people's close friends and I'm like,
we're not close friends,
I haven't talked to you. Yes. Or like, what kind of stuff do you want me to be seeing?
Yes, isn't that strange?
I almost never post on my close friends, but the things I do post on my close friends, it's stuff that I think people would be entertained by, but I just don't want to share with the general public.
Like a lot of horoscope stuff.
Oh yeah. Or I don't know, like I used to post like some really weird shit at the beginning of the pandemic because I was so bored.
Yeah, heard.
So heard. That was like my elite content. It was like my free Patreon.
Yes.
for people. I remember I added someone to my close friends who are like, fuck yeah, this is the content I want.
Yeah, okay, so I was just about to say, like, there are some people that add me to their close friends list that I haven't talked to in years, and I'm like, what the fuck? But then there are other people that add me to their close friends list that I'm, like, kind of peripherally friends with, but I think they're really fucking cool, and then I get added to their close friends list, and I'm like, yeah. I fucking made it! It's just such a good feeling.
I don't know, we're all stupid, and posting stupid stuff on our close friends, like, what we made for dinner or something. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Try to think of the last thing.
I almost posted my Spotify Wrapped on my close friends. To be honest, I love looking at people's Spotify.
Me too.
Wrapped.
People are such jerks about it.
I wanted to see. I like seeing what people are listening to. And like, it's like music astrology for me. I'm right. Like, oh, okay. So those are your top three. All right. What songs do you have? Bo Burnham, are you okay?
Right. Why is Bo Burnham your number two artist? Do you need to talk? me and Squint sat down. He was over a few nights ago, and we just sat down and went through a close friends list one by one. Or not close friends list. The Spotify Wrapped one by one. We would like play one slide and then pause it, and then the other person would play a slide.
I love that.
We just like talked about it. It was just such like a stupid little like activity for us to do, but it was so fun because it's like, I don't know, what have you been listening to? It was so fun.
Well, so I wanted to ask, what is like the greatest length you think you've gone to? Like, I know we've talked about stuff like this before in past episodes, but that was also like a year and a half ago. Yeah. So
the greatest length that I've gone
changed
to like stalk.
What's your like sleuth level ability?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Like something that you just, I mean, we're open books at this point, so, but under normal circumstances where you didn't have a podcast, what is something that you wouldn't want people to know?
I've just done so much creepy shit.
I mean, I obviously have a burner Instagram. I actually don't go on it very much anymore. I use my burner rarely. It's like if I want to look at something someone posted, but I don't want to accidentally like it or something. That's or safe. I don't know. Yeah. It's just like if I'm going to creep on someone I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I go use. But I'm not looking at anyone specific. It's just like, oh, I want to do like if I'm looking at someone, if I'm creeping on your behalf, like yeah, because I'm being nosy, I'll go to my burner account because I'm like, oh, I want to see like what they're doing. Like, yeah, who do they know? What are they doing? But
yeah,
otherwise, that's I used to use point. It a little too toxically. Like,
that, yeah, that's why I got rid
would
of
look
mine.
At people who like used to date my boyfriend and make myself mad for no reason because I literally don't know these people or what they're like, and he doesn't talk about them at all. So
it's just too easy to spiral. Like,
I have nothing to be upset about, but I'm going to find something to be upset about.
It's just, I've said this a million times on the podcast, but it's been a while. Like my therapist, I was talking to my therapist about this exact thing. I'm like, the shit is too accessible. Like it's too easy for me to see like what my ex is doing or like what like my ex's girlfriend is doing. Like there's just like, it's too easy. And she was like, yeah. And this is so new because like back in my day, she's like really young. She's like 40, but she's like, back when I was dating, like I had to drive by my ex's house to see what he was doing. Like we didn't have everything right in front of us. It's like too easy to figure shit out now. And it's like you have to actively stop yourself from doing it. And once I deleted my burners and like stopped just like digging through the internet, I started feeling so much better.
Yeah, it removes this huge, because you're making yourself anxious.
Yeah, for no reason, because you'll find if you're looking for something, you'll find it.
I mean, you become addicted to the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're getting like a high from finding something that like makes you angry.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
It's also like if you're looking to deconfirm something, you get addicted to that feeling. It's like when you go mm-hmm. to, it's like, I'm going to look for this. And if I don't find it, I'm going to feel better. And it's like, then you don't find it. It's like, oh my God, then you feel better for like 10 minutes.
I feel like when I would be like, oh, I'm going to go look for something. And if I don't find anything, I'll feel better. Like, when I would do that, I always would find something. And the worst is when you don't find anything. And then you're like, I am such a fucking asshole.
Mm.
Like, why do I think that I don't deserve to be with someone who is just kind to me?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, how come I haven't dated anyone like that before? And then I just go into this
different spiral.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, why don't I believe I deserve this level of like love and care?
Yeah. Yeah. God. No, that's like you really, something that I've learned through therapy is like there are so many deep, deep reasons for the behaviors that we have.
Well, also alternatively, my therapist, when I've talked to her about stuff like this, she's like, well, if they're posting it for anyone to see, like, who cares if you see it?
Mm-hmm.
But she does say the same thing of like, this is pretty new.
Yeah.
Having this ability to like see people's lives. I also, while we're talking about social media, I have a pet peeve of people being like, well, what you see on social media isn't real. I'm like, sometimes it fucking is. Like, yeah. Sometimes people are really fucking happy.
Yeah.
Like, of course people are posting like the positive stuff mm-hmm. and not everyone is posting like negative, like, oh, I had a bad day.
Yeah.
I think that's more common now.
Right.
Like, where people are like going to talk a little more deeply about something or share like some deeper feelings. But like, I'm not gonna like post a picture of me like sitting on the toilet like, oh, had a rough day.
Yeah, taking a massive shit.
Yeah,
right now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It just of course people are gonna post the best things because like, but I don't think it's because they're like they want other people to think that they're living some dream life. It's just like, yeah, I'm doing this cool thing and I documented it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are posting like they want to give the facade that they're like living some amazing like influencer yeah. mom life.
I think a lot of people are masking their like being sad with stuff like that. So I think that there are some people like you're saying that like do that. Yeah. But I think the majority of people, especially now, like with Gen Z being so obsessed with like being anxious and depressed and like making sure that, because it's kind of trendy right now to be anxious and depressed, not saying that they're not, but like people are really airing it out like they never have before. And like that kind of feels like the new, that like the pendulum has swung to the other side now. It's like everyone was like trying to like look like these like travel influencers and now everyone's like, we're all fucking sad. Let's all be like sad together.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Mm.
I wonder if it's going to swing back.
Maybe. Because should be interesting. Maybe post-pandemic when the roaring 20s happen again.
I watched this trend forecaster say that like the, you know how like the low-rise jeans and shit like that, those trends are coming back. And she's like, the inevitable after of that is like going to be kind of like this like punk grunge hippie thing. Like, you know, like Kesha.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Fuck, like yeah. 2010 Kesha. Oh
my God, I'm putting glitter on my face every day.
I'm stoked.
Me too.
I am stoked for the punk rock return.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of social media and how accessible just like information is, I'm interested to see like how it will be different.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be like similar, but with like a new age twist.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I was just like trying to envision, because I'm thinking about like what Kourtney Kardashian looks like right now that she's like engaged to Travis Barker and like how much her style's changed. Her. And I fucking love her style now. I'm like, I could get down with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Megan Fox always looks like
hot.
A little bit. Yeah. Like a little bit grungy and like a little That's bit punk true. Rocky. I could get down with it. I could make it work. I could make it work. I started wearing mascara again, and that's kind of always running.
Oh my God.
So like, I kind of already have like the under eye dark. I'm so fucking ready. I was born for this.
Here we are.
Let's go.
We're ready.
Leaning into your fucking punk rock phase again. I was just looking at all my old MySpace pictures. Shit's wild, man. My MySpace is gone for forever.
So is mine. So the pictures I had will never be.
Right. I saved some of them in my Facebook, which is how I saw them, but
RIP. One other last stalker tidbit type thing that I wanted to talk about that I've been seeing a lot of, AirTags.
Yo!
AirTag. Yeah, so if people haven't heard or seen anything about this, people are using AirTags to track mostly women, like hiding them on people's cars, like in the license plate, things like that. I do think that there's a theory that sex traffickers are doing it. So that's a new fear to unlock for you. But your phone will notify you that, like, where the AirTag is in your vicinity is, like, tracking you. So that had, like, Apple had to create this alert.
Good God.
Like, you are being traced, essentially.
Or
the person with the AirTag can see where your location is, because I think it can see like, oh, the AirTag is not near this person.
Right. But it's like the phone is so close by.
Yeah.
Are AirTags like tiles? Like do you put them on like your keys to like not lose your keys? That's what they're for.
Yeah.
I never heard about them until this like scary shit started happening with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was my first question. My second thing is whenever like these trends start popping up, like of like how sex traffickers are like tracking people, I feel like they move on to something else. Like when like something gets like blown up, then they're like, we can't keep using this.
I think that the way people are sex trafficked is way more like they're not coming up with all these new tactics. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same things for the most part. That's how most sex traffickers are operating.
Yeah. I think just like staying like hypervigilant all the time, no matter what, is probably the way to go. Mm-hmm. But now I want to like check underneath my car and shit and like in my license plate. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah. Shit's fucking scary.
I think you'd get a notification again. Right.
And
so
I think that that's just like,
it's insane that they had to even make that. Like, this is the opposite of what their intention was.
Right. Like, right. And I don't know. I'm just always, I think maybe because I'm watching you so much recently, like knowing how visible my apartment is from the street, like you saw it, it's mm-hmm. so visible. And like, unless I'm closing all of my blinds, which I don't, like, I don't know.
You don't want to live it. It's already dark enough.
It's so dark. I don't want to fucking close my blinds all the time. And you can't really see in there during the day, but at night, it's, you can see everything I'm doing in there.
Yeah.
And I just like, don't love that. I don't know. Just like always feeling watched, or like you always kind of have to like keep an eye out for yourself because somebody might put like an air tag on your fucking car. Like, that's just fucking bizarre.
So now you have to like think holistically, like, oh, I guess I'll never post a picture of my car.
Right.
Shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Can I change gears to something fun?
Yeah. Okay. Please.
So I stumbled upon this article of, so we always say there are no stupid questions, like whenever people write into us, and all the questions that y'all send us are not dumb, so this is not a slight, but I found this article of 12 what the fuck sex questions you won't believe people have actually asked, and it's all men that have asked these questions, which I think makes it even funnier. And I'm gonna read you a couple of them. So this is one of them. 2 days ago I had unprotected sex with my girlfriend. To prevent pregnancy, we bought a Plan B pill, but in the heat of the moment, I popped it instead of her. Can it cause any complications for me?
Why would he take it?
Because he's a fucking, this is why good sex ed programs are so important.
I want to know what his thoughts were of like, no, I just want to live on the edge.
I don't know if they were, he was just like so panicked. Plan B pills are expensive. Yeah, they are.
I bet it made his nipple sensitive.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Or I don't know.
Tender and
maybe how you feel after you eat like a lot of soy.
Yeah.
If a man and woman masturbate at the same time, thinking about sex, can it lead to pregnancy?
That feels like a middle schooler wrote that.
Or like, or someone who like, I don't know, was raised by like someone ultra religious.
Yeah, it's so sad. That's like when I thought that I was pregnant from dry humping my boyfriend with jeans on. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my Mormon boyfriend.
You just don't know.
You just can't be too sure. Neither of us had gotten the education we needed at that point. Okay, there's only a few more of these. I'm only reading the really good ones. How will a child born from a mix of semen samples of a black man, white man, an Indian man, and a Chinese man turn out?
You don't like put the semen in like a blender and they all become just one.
Oh my god.
I like that concept though.
Me too. It kind of sounds like I'd take it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But that's not how that works.
I have heard that any kind of acidic substance can prevent pregnancy. Can I pour some drops of lemon or orange juice in my girlfriend's vagina after intercourse? Will it harm her? I kind of get it. Like thinking logically without like a whole lot of logic. I guess that would make sense. It doesn't work. It won't work.
But just pour some apple cider vinegar in there.
Yeah, just like
it fixes everything. Funnel, yeah.
Funnel some apple cider vinegar in your girlfriend's vagina. A little bit of
coconut oil. I haven't. Every time I look for a home remedy for something, the answer is apple cider vinegar or coconut oil
and cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I was doing shots of apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper every morning for a while there. Don't do that if you have acid reflux. I found out the hard way.
What were you doing that for?
Were
you doing one of those little cleanse things?
It was like during when I turned 25, I had like a big like eating disorder relapse. And I cried the entire night leading up to my 25th birthday because I had gained like 3 pounds. It was awful, awful, awful.
Oh, man.
And I started taking shots of apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper and lemon juice every single morning, and that shit burns your esophagus. Would not recommend. Opening up the mailbag. That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever said in my life.
We just got a letter. I wonder if this is copyright.
I think it's just different. I think if you key it up a little bit like you did, I think we're safe from copyright infringements. Just listened to your latest podcast episode, episode 65, and you were worried about them being able to smell your butt when doing doggy style. Well, as a queer person who only has sex with humans with vaginas, I can tell you I have never noticed butt smells, even in a 69 position, which I feel like if you're going to accidentally smell a butt, that's when it would happen. I feel like as long as you clean yourself well beforehand, it shouldn't be an issue. Hope that helps. Also, just wanted to say thanks for being so open on the podcast. It has really helped me feel more comfortable having open conversations about sex with my partners and friends. I am in my 20s and started having a hoe phase after coming off of Zoloft. I felt like I had the sex drive of my teenage self again. Fuck yes. I was raised in a religious household, and even though I'm not religious, I've had a very complicated relationship with sex for most of my life. I was raised around purity culture, homophobia, and not ever discussing sex. Hearing open, honest conversations has helped me feel more comfortable with casual sex, which has been a lot of fun. Don't worry, I've been safe. I love the podcast and can't wait to hear what you and Liz talk about next week. Ah,
hell yeah.
Hell yeah. The seriously, like, it feels very, like, kind of self-aggrandizing to read those things out loud, but it actually means so much really to us when y'all say these things to us, because, I don't know, it's just, well, like...
Because it, I think it's weird because we know people listen, yeah, but to us, we're just, like, dicking around on my couch
for just like talking how we normally do,
yeah, for like an hour,
yeah,
with, and then there's a light blasting in our face. That's the only difference.
And like, we feel like y'all are our friends now ever since,
well, especially since we added a camera. It's like, oh, they're right here.
Yeah, hi, welcome. I'm so happy you're in our living room with us. This is our living room now. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, got ownership over your living room.
I think that your ex was just fucking with you. I don't think he could actually smell your asshole.
Okay.
I think that he was just trying to say something like gross.
Yeah, because like, yeah, I said something gross that he did.
Yeah, I don't think he, I think it was like in jest, but maybe you thought you took it seriously.
Maybe.
I don't think he was like trying to lie to you, because I asked Mr. Liz at dinner last week. I was like, I have a couple questions for you that we discussed on the podcast and I need your perspective. And then he's like, oh God, what are you about to ask? I was like, well, I explained the story of like your ex like saying he could smell your butthole when he was hitting it from behind. And then he was like, that has never happened to me. He's thank like, no. God. And I was like, not even when you're like getting my butt plug out of my butt. And he's like, no. So and then we also had a listener who tweeted at us.
Yeah.
And he said that he's never, mm-hmm, he's like approximate, he calls me the ass shaman.
Yes, hell yeah, I want it to stick.
Ass shaman. He said that 0% of people will smell your butthole when they're hitting it from behind. And also, oh, I asked about the semen thing. Because when we were talking about like the cum
information.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, why I was like, what more is the appeal? Like, that's like so, like, why do you want to like cum a lot? And then he was like, I don't know, because it's just like sad if it's just like, peh. That's literally the sound that he made.
That is a good point, actually.
And then I was like, so it's kind of like an ego thing. He's like, absolutely.
That makes sense. That makes sense because like cum shots are such like a thing. Yeah, yeah. Right. That makes sense that it would be an ego thing.
And we did get we got an email from a male listener, and I'm sorry, we didn't pre-screen our emails today like we usually do. We saw that it was very long. So we will read it and circle back.
Yeah.
But I guess I could read the PS, because that's the only thing that my quick little scanning saw was about the cum specifically. So this is from a cis straight man. He disclosed it at the top, so it's not just me being saying that. He said, PS, more cum means better/longer orgasm, at least for me. Also, it definitely makes me feel more like a masculine, manly man when I can produce more cum. Maybe that's a social construct. Maybe it's evolutionary. Probably a bit of both.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And we'll read your full email a little later.
I'm so
later
excited to read it.
Yeah, yeah. It looks spicy. I'm
trying to see who wrote it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know them. Thank you so much. That's the amount of effort that goes into writing something like this.
Seriously.
Fucking hell. Thank you.
Yeah. And you guys always send us like the most entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, we never know what we're going to read.
No. And it's always such a fucking wild ride. Sometimes, like, when we're setting up, we'll read one of the emails to each mm-hmm. other, like, that before we read it on air, and we're both just, like, audibly
like guffawing exclaiming. At each other.
I asked Squints about the butt thing, too.
Okay.
Bless his heart, he said exactly what I was expecting him to. Do you want to know the answer? And I was like, oh, God, I don't know. Do I? And he was like, I can honestly say, and you know that I would tell you, I've never smelled your butthole. But he said that sometimes just because of like when you're like doing doggy, like the air wafts up, like the air has to go somewhere and sometimes it wafts up and it's kind of like a smell, but musky. It's not like butt. It's not like poop smell. You know, it's just kind of like a undercarriage smell.
I mean,
an undercarriage smell. You know?
I mean, like genitals
smell
a certain way. I don't think they smell bad.
No, they just have a smell.
Yeah, especially when you're fucking.
Especially when you're fucking. That's the smell of sex just hanging in the air after sex?
Yeah, it's just.
Just fucking.
The way, like, spit kind of smells like something, mm-hmm. you know?
Everything kind of smells like something.
Yeah. Anyways, don't use harsh chemicals on your genitals. I don't know.
Amen. That's the gospel for today.
Yeah.
This
one is titled The Importance of Foreplay, a Horror Story.
Favorite topic. Let's do it.
And it looks longer because I just zoomed in. We're going to read another email, and the subject line of this one is The Importance of Foreplay, a Horror Story. Hello, lovely ladies. First, obviously, I need to say thank you for this podcast. You two are a true bright spot in my week and one of my favorite parasocial relationships. Same. I've always wanted more people to talk openly about all the things that you do. It makes me feel more normal. You're both so silly and caring and snarky, and you're both the best. Okay, gushing over.
I want to hug you.
Yeah, that's so nice. Can you send this to my mom? I feel like I just got like an outstanding on my behavior on my report card. I have been thinking about sending this story into the podcast for a while, and I probably should have sent it for your Halloween episode, but oh well. And honestly, as much as it's a bit gruesome, I've never, ever heard anyone I know say they share this experience.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So I guess if other listeners have had this happen, then we won't be alone anymore. Me, female 33, she, her. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this happened to me twice. Once when I was 16, with the second guy I ever had sex with, and again when I was 18. The first guy, we had been dating for a few months. It was high school, so neither of us had much experience with sex, but I knew I liked foreplay. Like a lot of foreplay. Like more than a teenage boy is able to give without losing his mind, apparently. This meant I'd gotten used to guys just not really getting my engine running before hopping in there. So we're hooking up. There's some mild foreplay, some hand stuff. No going down on me because teenage boys, eye roll. And then he goes to stick it in me. He's uncircumcised. He's a bit nervous. So I figured we'd have a bit of trouble anyways, on top of me not quite being ready to go. We get going eventually, like maybe a minute or two of trying to fully get in fully. And he goes for maybe 10 minutes. I don't come, but he says, can we stop? It's hurting a bit. I'm like, oh shit, sure. He pulls out, winces. We look down and there's blood everywhere. Not period blood, not a tiny spot for me, like over a cup of pretty intensely flowing blood. We can't tell who's bleeding. He immediately panics and I guess fully realizes how much pain he's in and sees it's coming from him and goes running to the bathroom. I immediately have a panic attack, thinking my vagina has teeth or is full of barbed wire. You know, normal vagina panic thoughts. After about 20 minutes, he finally lets me into the bathroom. The bleeding has stopped, but he's so stressed out and panicked. He asks if I can maybe just go home so his mom can take him to the hospital. So I go home, traumatized. The next day, he calls me. It turns out he had torn his foreskin almost all the way off while we were fucking.
Oh,
he had
God.
To be circumcised. We didn't date for much longer.
Oh my God.
But oddly, have remained friends. I guess that's a bond in a way. As I said, the same thing happened to me again with another boyfriend when I was 18.
Girl, no!
That time, though, I still went into a panic attack, and he was still very bloody. He didn't need to be circumcised, just stitched up, and no sex for like 8 months.
I've never in my life heard of this.
Needless to say, those two experiences were pretty awful and have made me a huge proponent of excess foreplay. Please, if any listeners are using their penis to have sex with a vagina, make sure that vagina is truly ready to go. Better be safe than accidentally circumcised. Love you, ladies. I know this was a long email. Thanks for reading it.
Oh, jeez.
Holy shit. Fucking shit. I can't believe it.
The fact that it happened
twice. I haven't even seen two uncircumcised penises.
Wow.
Now that I think about it. I mean, not in real life, not in person.
I've only seen two. I've only seen two.
Wow.
Well,
what are
holy
the,
fuck.
What are the odds?
I can't believe the first guy had to get circumcised. Oh my God, what a fucking nightmare.
How? I have a million questions and I need a doctor on the phone now.
I'm seriously, truly, there's very rarely am I speechless.
I know. I'm going to Google this.
I've like when I used to have sex with my ex and I wasn't like wet enough, it would like hurt him a little bit. He was circumcised though. So like that we didn't, you know, there was no like pulling.
I'm looking up ripping foreskin sex. Why has it torn? The small tag of skin on the underside of your penis between your foreskin and shaft of your penis is called the frenulum or banjo string. The frenulum is sometimes tight and can tear, usually during sex.
I don't like banjo string at all.
So I think it's like if their foreskin is too small for their dick, maybe it just got so hard when they were having sex.
So you did him a favor. Wow.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, if it was too tight, it had to go.
It was going to happen eventually, right. I guess.
You're the dick
purgatory. Is the moral
purgatory.
Of the story.
You are their dick purgatory. And I love that for you.
Yeah. Well, I want to know if it was... So the second guy, if that was also his first time having sex.
Probably not. I mean, he didn't have to get...
I'm confused.
Huh. I'm truly baffled.
It is common to tear the frenulum during masturbation and sexual intercourse. If the area tears over and over, scar tissue can form, making the frenulum less stretchy. This, in turn, makes it more likely to tear again.
Lit.
So I wonder if that second guy went on to his dick tearing again.
He couldn't have sex for 8 months, though.
The first guy.
Yeah. Oh, the first guy.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No. The second guy. Yeah, you're right. Just stitched up and no sex for 8 months.
Oh.
Fucking insane. I'm sure this has happened to other people, but just not anyone you know.
Oh my God. What? Thank you for sharing that. What the fuck?
That was so fun. That was such a fun read.
Yeah, that was such a wild
ride. Because neither of us had read it until just now.
Right, that was like a reaction.
Just like the pure, genuine like shock and like excitement.
That's what happens when we read your emails before we start recording is normally what you just heard.
Yeah. Well, I guess we learned a little bit today.
Yeah, we did.
I can't believe this happened twice.
That's what really makes the story so fucking wild.
It's just
wild.
That it happened more than once. One time, insane enough. Second time, I would be like, what are the fucking odds? You should.
What are the fucking odds?
Yeah, hey. This girl needs to enter the lottery.
No kidding. I'm kind of jealous, though. Like, I want teeth in my vagina. I'm just kidding. Did you ever see Teeth, the movie?
No.
Liz, you have to. It's so good.
Yeah. Also, to circle back to what the listener wrote, foreplay is important.
It really is.
You gotta put the key in before you can start the engine or something. I don't know. That's not a good analogy.
You gotta blow into the game before you put it in your Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, blow into...
It's like the nerdiest thing.
Blow into the vagina, like a game. Like a Nintendo 64 carton.
You gotta wet the envelope before you stick it.
Open it and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just...
Like a harmonica.
Yeah.
Please don't blow into anyone's vagina like a balloon.
No.
I feel like that won't, you're just going to get a queef back in your face, I think.
Yeah.
It'll blow your bangs back.
Oh, this reminds me. I saw Whitney Cummings on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Like incredible.
Like her stand-up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
just out in the wild.
Yeah, just saw her walking around and was like, hey, you want to talk about sex? No, so she was talking about how men, like, there's, like, moments in sex that, like, any sound that happens during sex, like, you can kind of laugh about or, like, is, like, a good sound, except for your knees popping. That was the joke. But she was talking about queefs, and she's like, men fucking love when they can make you queef because that's, like, oh, my dick caused so much room in your vagina that it made that sound. And, like, I had never thought about it like that.
I think it's when it's, like, really tight, but there's a little air inside.
Yeah.
That's, like, what a queef is.
And, like, that his dick made that room in there for it to be
okay
to make a fart,
and then they pull out and it's like
yeah and I guess that's a good feeling for them as something new that I learned. I do too,
personally.
I can't help but laugh. My favorite thing is when
I, like, always say sorry,
jeez,
and then they're like, you don't have to apologize for that.
When I was dating a comedian, I queefed and I said sorry, and he was like, it's okay. And then months later, I found out that he thought that I farted in that moment. He's like, you farted in front of me. I'm like, no, I haven't.
And he brought that up, and you're like, that was a queef. That came from my...
So he thought
that for came from months. My China pot.
He thought for months I just farted during sex. Which is, like, fine, but, like, no. That's not fine. I was, like, still in the phase of trying to look super cool then. That's embarrassing. I was embarrassed, and I didn't even know that I was embarrassed.
I don't know if you should be embarrassed that he thought you farted or if he should be embarrassed that he didn't know it was a queef.
True.
You know?
True. Thank you. And I feel better.
You're welcome.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to pronounce this. This is not the sex fact, but I just want to share it. The German... Sex fact of the week.
Sex fact of the week. Sex fact of the week. I can't go whistle any higher tones. Than that.
Fuck yeah. Take that, Ariana Grande.
Oh, we woke up the cat.
Ariana Venti's here. The German for a contraceptive is Schwangerschaftsverhütungsmittel.
Wait, I want to see this.
By the time you finish saying it, it's too late. I checked on other parts of the internet to see if it's true, and it is.
Wait, where is it? The German word for contraceptive. Schwangerschaftsvermittel.
Do you think they made it, like, needlessly hard? Schwangerschaftsverhütungsmittel. What a beautiful language. Okay, I just wanted to share that. The actual sex fact of the week. Where did it go? Oh. A single human male produces enough sperm in 2 weeks to impregnate every fertile woman on the planet. I guess that makes sense because there's, like, a lot of sperm in ejaculation. Like, a lot. Wild.
I don't like it.
It's a sad, sad sex fact of the week.
I don't trust it. I don't like it. I don't trust it.
Sex fact of
We've been really into... Tiny violin. We've been really into cum facts.
Love cum facts.
Cum facts.
Cum facts, no printer.
Instead of Carfax, it's cum facts.
Yeah, what's the Carfax?
Show me the cum facts.
Yeah, show me the cum facts.
And then we have our mascot, the cum fox. It's just
George
Clooney wearing fox ears. I know
that
there are
talented artists that listen.
I'm afraid to see what that would look like.
I want it to be our mascot.
I'm just imagining it's like an anime girl with giant tits. I guess that's just a furry.
I'm picturing like a fox, just like with like just like a douchebag, like frat boy fox. Called the Cum Fox.
So, like, the Fantastic Mr. Fox, but, like, wearing a snapback.
The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
We've had too many, like, self-affirming high fives this episode.
But good, though.
All right. On that note.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you. Dren. That was impressive.
Thanks. That's the lowest I can go.
That's beautiful.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.